Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us once again as we face the issues. May I invite you to call in with your questions or comments. Your dialogue and discussion is very important to this broadcast. Our program is designed around you, our listener, with a Q&A format that you can ask your questions. We'll respond to that based on the issue that we're speaking on at that time. But ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about issues, facing the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of Scripture. I don't know of any other place, any other book that we can turn to as human beings and find written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant words than that of the Bible. Jesus Christ is God come into flesh, and in doing so, ladies and gentlemen, He has set forth for us an advocate before the Father, where we can come to Him day by day and moment by moment and allow Him to intercede on our behalf. We need not go through a priest. We need not go through Mary. We do not need to go through any other source other than going directly to God through Jesus Christ, our intercessor. And especially when we think about the question, who is Jesus Christ? We're going to be talking about today, who is Jesus? And a little subtopic, I reckon you could call it, Jesus versus Muhammad. Who is Jesus and who is Muhammad? And who is it that the Bible speaks of that we should worship today? And so let me invite you to dial 831-0917, 831-0917. During the course of this broadcast, a telephone call gets you directly through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can have the dialogue and discussion with you. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's called having a biblical worldview, a biblical worldview. Jesus said to His disciples, "If you continue in My word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:31-32. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." So who is truth? Jesus answers that question in a declaratory statement when He says in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, no better source book than the Word of God. No better place to turn to when there's a question or a sense of need for answers than to go to the Word of God, the Bible. You see, God created the home, God created government, and He created the church, and in that order. And so anything that we discuss, ladies and gentlemen, by way of this broadcast or from the pulpit, any pastor, preacher, teacher that's worth his salt should recognize that those three were formed by God. Those three institutions, the home, government, and the church, formed by God Himself. And anything that we turn to in the Scripture, ladies and gentlemen, I challenge you, find one source in the Scripture, any place you turn, it's dealing with one of those three institutions, one of those three categories. And so, therefore, a central biblical worldview allows we as believers to discuss any of these issues. And we need to do so, ladies and gentlemen, especially in the last of the last days that we're now living in. We need to recognize the need to be forthright and direct so that we can understand and others can understand the truth and recognize the truth. In fact, it was George Orwell that said a number of years ago, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We see that very thing taking place today. You can witness it taking place any place in America, in particular in the Beltway called D.C., Washington. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the equipment for the homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo, with a full line of landscape and lawn care equipment for the homeowners as well as the professional landscapers. Tools for Time carries hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about backup power generation and equipment. Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you ask the question, where can I find that? 11291 Old St. Augustine Road is located right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's where the gigantic flag flies. It's about a 165-foot flagpole with a gigantic American flag. Ladies and gentlemen, find the flag at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. The base of that flag you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, what we talk about today, Jesus versus Muhammad. Let me just introduce it with an elongated monologue that I believe sets the stage for the fact of this broadcast and the dangers we're seeing that's looming over the Western Hemisphere that's called Islam, the dangers of Islam. And let me just interject this little thought. I get a little weary with the media talking about some politicians talking about radicalization of a Muslim. And there's always the question when there's the shooting and the massacres and the jihadist terrorist attacks. There's always that question, well, were they radicalized? Well, you've heard me say before, and let me, at the risk of redundancy, say again, if you're talking about a radical Christian, you're talking about a Christian that's radical in his beliefs. He believes the Bible. He believes Jesus Christ. He believes God. God's word is final and follows the word of God. And therefore, if you talk about a radical Muslim, talking about one that reads the Quran, believes the Quran, believes that Muhammad is God is Allah's prophet and that believes that Allah is God. But ladies and gentlemen, during the course of this broadcast today, I want to point out to you that Allah is not God and that Muhammad is simply a demon-possessed pedophile. Demon-possessed pedophile. He had 12-plus wives. One of them was as young as 6 years old. Thus, I call him a pedophile. Demon-possessed because on one occasion when he was adulated and problems and questions and he had spent days and days and days out in the cave, comes back in and tells Khadija, his wife, that he had been talking with demons. Demons had been talking with him. So I use that pulled together. He was a demon-possessed pedophile. And so, ladies and gentlemen, yet today there's the belief that somehow, some way, Muhammad was perfect. Muhammad was sinless. Muhammad was a prophet of God. And that Allah is God. Let me just say this at the outset. Allah is the moon god of the Bedouins of that day. When Muhammad went into the Kaaba box or the Kaaba building and found all of the 360 gods, he tore them all down except one, and that was the moon god named Allah. Allah is not the god of creation. Allah is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Allah is not the true God at all. Allah is a phony, false God that is a moon God and is in the category of false gods. But ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world today of confusing ideas, conflicting ideologies, chaotic intentions and inventions of the minds of men. And we must be very, very clear about the subject of who is Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? And perhaps I could ask that question to you, who is Jesus to you? But I want to talk about who is Jesus in the light of what is taught in the Quran about Muhammad and about Allah and about the Trinity and who Jesus Christ really is. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, today, many religions, including Islam, claim to believe in Jesus Christ. But do they? Muslims are quick to demonstrate goodwill, as I call it, for Jesus Christ. In fact, in my book, Is Islam Tolerant, have an entire chapter on Islam and Jesus and what they say about Jesus. And I'll quote you a few things from it later in this broadcast today. Primarily, as we discuss this, I'm going to be dealing with the Noble Quran. The Noble Quran. I'm going to read to you right from the Quran, the surahs. We call them verse and chapter divisions in the Bible. They call them surahs. Some spell that S-U-R-A and some S-U-R-A-H. The Noble Quran has it S-U-R-A-H. So it's like Surah 5, Surah 4, 3-8, Surah 7, etc., etc., etc. And so we'll be reading from the surahs and the demonic book called the Noble Quran to illustrate and to validate some of the things I want to tell us about today. Because I think it is important, especially at this season of the year, when we're celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must ask the question in a broader sense, not just in the household of faith, not just in the church setting where we ask the question, who is Jesus? We need to ask the question on a very broad basis and to the general public and to everyone listening today, who is Jesus in the light of what Islam and the Quran and Muhammad and the Muslims say today about Islam and who Islam is, who Muhammad is, and what Islam is supposedly about. In fact, let me complete a couple of other thoughts. We're going to start taking our first caller. But Islam considers Jesus as a prophet, just like Moses, Abraham, and Noah. Islam claims that Jesus is only a prophet, just like Muhammad. Hear me. Islam says that Jesus is a prophet, just like Muhammad. But Islam completely rejects the biblical truth and the doctrinal fact that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. That Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh became a sin sacrifice for us when he died on the cross. Islam teaches that Jesus is only a prophet of God and not God incarnate, not God at all. In fact, in Surah 4171, he says, Messiah Jesus, the son of Mary, was no more than a messenger of Allah and his word, which he bestowed on Mary. Say not there, three is three, that is the Trinity, for Allah is but one God. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go to you surah after surah after surah after surah, where the Quran denies Jesus Christ as God and rejects the Trinity, that is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We need to be careful when we hear Rick Warren and others that's talking about Chrislam and that's blending Christianity and Islam and saying that Islam and Christianity are sister religions. We need to reject that out of hand. He is a de facto false teacher in saying that, ladies and gentlemen. It is denigrative to Jesus Christ. It is destructive to the Word of God, and it will absolutely destroy the faith of multitudes across the world today with what he is teaching. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Good morning, Master Biblicist and Doctor of Alliteration. How are you?
Wonderful. I hope you're well.
Yes. You know, I'm just wondering, a few comments. The crescent moon is on top of all mosques. What do you see in that, the moon god?
The moon god, absolutely, unequivocally. In fact, that's the thing that's so ironic. That's the thing that's so illegitimate in the realm of Rick Warren and others that are teaching Chrislam and saying that Islam and Christianity are sister gods. In their own symbol, they have the sword and the crescent moon. And in that symbol itself, it validates the fact that they serve the moon god, which is not the creator controller god of the Bible.
So they might be considered lunatics.
You got it. I like that, lunatics.
or they might exhibit loss, lax, last, lunacy, liberals or whatever.
Loose likes lost liberals. That's right. You got it.
you know, when General Allenby took Jerusalem from the Ottoman Turks, yeah. I don't know how true this is, but he sent planes flying over Jerusalem, from what I've read. And I'm not sure if this is factual, but it's interesting. And he dropped leaflets, General Allenby, and they thought it was Allah-by. And it says, as birds flying in Isaiah, so shall the Lord of hosts, Yahweh Sivaos, deliver Jerusalem, deliver, passing over it, he will preserve it, and he will deliver it. And I thought that was fascinating. Have you heard anything of that?
Haven't heard that, but that's a good analogy. And the approach that was taken in his setting them free was absolutely phenomenal. And I think we've forgotten the roots of history and forgotten where we've come from as a Western hemisphere, allowing it to come in. Now, Islam has already taken full control of France and Germany and most yeah. of the European Union and that whole mass of people. They have totally Islamicized that portion of the Western hemisphere.
And, you know, when you were discussing Israel, not only did the Balfour Declaration, Lord Balfour, mentioned that Israel would be for the Jewish people, but the San Remo conference before the League of Nations, where there were major nations of the world, San Remo, and they confirmed the Balfour Declaration.
Yes, 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 yes.
Well, thank you very much. It's always good to hear you from you.
Thank you so much. God bless you, and have a great day today. Thank you,
you
for
too.
Your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Jesus versus Muhammad. The question must be asked, who is Jesus Christ? And when you go to what the Islamics are saying, and we're going to dig deeper into the Quran as the broadcast progresses, I want you to understand, it's not just idle talk. It's not just philosophical rhetoric. It's just not an ideological bent. I'm talking about facts from what we find in their own book. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, when I read to you out of the Noble Quran, I want you to understand the Noble Quran is the only Quran in the world. The Noble Quran is the only Quran in the world that an Islamic scholar will read, look at, honor, and respect. Any other Quran, in fact, there's some 150 to 200 different versions of the Quran that's printed for Western consumption, which is an absolute lie. It is a mock-up, make-believe of the real Quran that's recognized, embraced, and used by the Islamics, the Islamic scholars in particular. But ladies and gentlemen, they reject anything that is called the triunity of the Godhead, the Trinity. And they reject anything that is called Jesus Christ as being God. Islam sees Jesus equal on the equal plane with Muhammad. Muhammad is, Jesus was a prophet. Muhammad was the prophet after him, and even a superior prophet to the Lord Jesus Christ. Islam says that Jesus was virgin born. Did you know that? The Quran says that Jesus was virgin born, but the virgin birth in Islam is vastly different and completely foreign to the biblical record of Jesus' virgin birth and the concepts of the virgin birth and all that it connotes in the Word of God. Islam says that Jesus instructs people to worship Allah. But ladies and gentlemen, in the Quran, in Surah 5:72 and following. Let me just read you some of the surahs from the fifth chapter. We'd call it chapter, the fifth surah in the Quran. Let me just start out by reading 72 and 73, and then we'll look over further in the surahs and surah 5. Surely they have disbelieved to say Allah is the Messiah. I see. ISA is the one they called for Jesus, son of Miriam. They call Miriam rather than Mary. But the Messiah, Jesus, said, O children of Israel, worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. Verily, whosoever sets up partners, that is, in worship with Allah, they're talking about now the partners, the triunity they're rejecting again there, that Allah has forbidden paradise to him, and the fires will be where he will abode. And for the polytheists, that's the wrongdoers, speaking of the Christians, there are no helpers. Verse 73 in Surah 5, surely disbelievers, that's talking about Christians and Jews, are those who said Allah is the third of three in a trinity, speaking specifically there to the Christians and the Trinity, speaking of the Trinity. But there's no God, none who has the right to be worshipped, but one, that is Allah. And if they cease not from their what they say, verily a painful torment will befall all of the disbelievers, that is, non-Muslims, among them. And then in the same text in verse 116, he said, the Surah 5 says almost the same thing in 116, if I can turn to that very quickly here in these moments. In Surah 5, 116, and remember, Allah will say in the day of resurrection that Jesus, the son of Miriam, did you say unto men, worship me and my mother as the two gods beside Allah? He will say, glory be to you. It is not for me to say, I had no right. Had I said such thing, you would surely have known it. You have known in my inner self, though I do not know myself in yours. You are the all-knower of he that is all that is hidden and unseen. Literally, ladies and gentlemen, what is being said, and by the way, when you look at the Quran, all you find is a paraphrasing and a gobbledygook of what you would find in the Bible of that day. By the way, Muhammad didn't write it. Allah didn't give it. It was the demon-possessed pedophile that sat with his members of his clan, as it was called that day, around the firesides and had their fireside chats. Muhammad could not write. He could not read. He was totally illiterate. So anything that you find in the Quran that any Muslim says that Allah wrote it, I mean that Muhammad wrote it and that Allah gave it, you can laugh in a laughter of understanding that it's a lie. It's a demonic lie trying to prove what they're saying by saying that it was from Allah, and it is not. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, in Surah 18, 4 and 5, the Quran reads, "And to warn those, Jews and Christians, all pagans, who say Allah has begotten a son that is an offspring or a child. Number 5, no knowledge have they of such a thing, nor had their fathers. Mighty is the word that comes out of their mouths. He begot sons and daughters. They utter lying, and nothing is true." Ladies and gentlemen, the Quran is simply very, very clear. They're saying that there's no such thing as Jesus Christ being the Son of God. Jesus Christ is being divine. Jesus Christ is being deity. And later in this broadcast, we're going to look at a comparison and look at the comparison and contrast between Jesus and Muhammad, and who Jesus is and who Muhammad was, and what the Quran says. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, in Surah 19, 35 and 37, "It befits not the majesty of Allah that he should beget a son." This refers to slander of Christians against Allah by saying Jesus is Son of Allah, glorified and exalted be he above all that associate with him. When he decrees a thing, he only says it to be, and it is. And then in verse 37, "Then the sects differ," i.e., the Christians, "about Jesus. So woe unto the disbelievers," that's all non-Muslims, "who gave false witness by saying that Jesus is the Son of Allah. For from the meeting of a great day," that is the day of resurrection, "when they will be thrown into a blazing fire." Ladies and gentlemen, the Quran says, if you've heard me right today, the Quran says that if you believe in Jesus Christ as being the Son of God, if you believe that Jesus Christ is a part of the triunity of the Godhead, if you believe that there is a Trinity, if you believe that Jesus Christ is God, then you are going to be burned in hell, according to the Quran and what is used today by 1.8 billion Muslims around the globe. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, Allah is not God. Muhammad was not a prophet. Muhammad was a marauding, murderous band leader, clan leader that led thousands upon thousands to go in and destroy lives and steal property and go back and rejoice in saying that Allah told him to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the farce. It should be rejected out of hand for anybody that thinks that what the Quran says is true. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the Quran, since the 8th century, has been upgraded, changed, modified with literally thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands, if I can illustrate it by redundancy, thousands upon thousands of surahs that had been deleted, depleted, changed, rewritten, and adopted in what is today's noble Quran. You can go back, and after the Muhammad died, you had the caliph system. Some call it caliphate, caliph or caliphate, either way you want to pronounce it, it's all right with me. Set up the caliphate, caliph system, and very much like the popery system of Roman Catholicism today. And in the caliph system, each time a new caliph would come into office and take control, they would call in all of the Qurans of that day. They would be burned, and then the new caliph would write his own surahs, write his own words, if you please, to go into the book that is today called the Quran. If you believe that it's from God, then you're believing a lie. If you believe that Muhammad is a prophet, then you're believing a lie. If you believe that Allah is God, you're believing a demonic lie, nothing more and nothing less. Ladies and gentlemen, Islam teaches a different God, a different Jesus, and a false doctrine completely. According to the Quran, Allah had no son. In fact, in Surah 6101, there is a statement that is very, very clear. If I can turn to it quickly in the Quran, in Surah 6101, let me turn to it quickly. I'm shuffling pages here trying to get to it. I have so many pages marked, but in Surah 601, it points it out very, very clearly. 6101, that is, if I can find that for our edification. 101 in Surah 6, it says very clearly, He is the originator of the heavens and the earth. How can he have children when he has no wife? He created all things, and he is an all-knowing and is everywhere. A de facto, definite statement in the Quran that Allah had no son. In fact, laughably, I would put it, the Quran says that Allah was not married. How could he have a wife? And ladies and gentlemen, that is redundant because in Surah 73, the Quran says something very, very similar to that. In Surah 73, where there's a rejection of anything that is called having a son, they mockingly, laughingly chide anybody that says that Allah had a son, because they clearly state that he did not, that Jesus Christ is the figment of the imagination of the Christians and not of the Muslims at all. I want to read to you Surah 73 and verse 3, if I can get to it very quickly. My pages are not wanting to. 72:3, and he exalted be the majesty of our Lord, has taken neither a wife nor a son, no offspring of Allah. Can't get any more declarative than that, definitive than that. But ladies and gentlemen, we're wanting to talk about today, who is Jesus Christ? You tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can dial 831-0917, ask your question, join in the dialogue and discussion. Perhaps you've been inundated with the false belief, because we have today in our political system, in our educational system, where Islam is pervading our educational process. Islam is absolutely dominant in the public school, the governmentally controlled public school classrooms, where your sons and daughters and our sons and daughters and grandkids are being taught about Allah as though Allah and God are the same. And yet you can't have a Bible. You can't teach about Jesus Christ. You cannot pray to Jesus. And yet somehow everything is okay to talk about Allah and to talk about anything that is antithetical to the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, it is sad but true. We're in a society today where political correctness has gone awry. In fact, in Surah 112, 1 through 3, says this, "Say, O Muhammad, to these kafirs," that is those lost ones, those that are non-Muslims, "in Allah is a oneness, in his angels, in his book, his messenger, in the day of resurrection. I worship not that which you worship, nor will you worship that which I worship, and I shall not worship that which you are worshiping." They're throughout the Quran, ladies and gentlemen, denigratively dissing, as you would call it, anything that's called Christianity or Judaism. The fifth verse in that says, "Nor will you worship that which I worship. To you be your religion, and to me my religion, Islam." Ladies and gentlemen, they're rejecting anything but Islam. And yet there's the mindset today by Rick Warren and others that says that we need to embrace Islam as a sister religion. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you of this. Islam teaches a different God, a different Jesus, a false doctrine. According to the Quran, Allah had no sin. Allah was perfect. Allah had no wife, and Allah had no son, and therefore Jesus Christ is not God, and Islam teaches a false God, a false theology, a false doctrine, and a false Jesus. So, ladies and gentlemen, Islam also presents a false prophet, an individual called Muhammad. We're going to talk about Muhammad for the balance of the broadcast today. Muhammad is no more than a mere fallen, sinful man. But ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back as we continue Who is Jesus Christ with a review of the comparison and contrast of Jesus Christ and Muhammad. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.